Before we do the mission report, why don't we begin with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your grace and your mercy, and how you guide us, and you know how you provide for us, and you know we thank you that we have this awesome opportunity to you know to go to the Philippines and you know to bring your word, and you know we just thank you in how you prepared the hearts of the people. We thank you for your people here in the States, where you've inclined their hearts to. You know, to pray, and that you're able to use those prayers. And so, Lord, we thank you on how, you protected us. We thank you on how, you guided us. And we thank you for your providence. We thank you for your mercy. And we're just for your blessing now upon this report. And maybe that may be to your honor and to your glory. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to open with a reading from the Bible in Isaiah 25, the first verse, Isaiah 25, verse 1. O Lord, thou art my God, I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithful, our faithfulness and truth. By God's wonderful grace and providence, our group of 20 missionaries arrived in the Philippines in the city of Cebu on Saturday, the 14th of January. Our group consisted of 13 men and 7 women. We came from all different parts of the U.S. Some of us came from the East Coast, from Philadelphia, Baltimore, New York. Some others came from the West Coast, from Seattle, California. We had one person from Europe, Guam. Two others from the Philippines also joined us. Among them was a lady who began to listen to family radio from the encouragement of her husband, who himself is a family radio listener who lives in the United States. She would go to an internet cafe to listen to family radio, paying about 40 cents, 20 pesos, 40 cents U.S. per hour. All of us had one goal in mind. That goal is to bring the true gospel of salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ to the wonderful people of the Philippines. The Philippines is located near the Pacific Ocean, about 500 miles of Vietnam. Manila is the capital city. Cebu is part of a group of islands called the Visayas and has a population of about 3 million people. Considered as the Philippines' seat of Christianity, Cebu is said to be the Philippines' oldest and historic city. The native language is Cebuano. Tagalog and English are also commonly understood. We left the United States on Thursday, January the 12th, and arrived in Cebu Saturday morning, the 14th. We had a pleasant but long flight. Our flight attendants were very courteous and made sure that we were very comfortable. We arrived at our hotel, the Cebu Midtown Hotel, before noon. Waiting for us at the hotel was our tracts, the Does God Love You tracts, which included 120,000 in the Cebuano language. The tracts were printed in the Philippines and provides the radio schedule for the programs, which is 3 hours of daily programming in Tagalog and in English. The signal comes from a 600 kilowatt AM facility in Taiwan. After putting away our things in our rooms and got settled in, most of the group went out within close proximity of the hotel to pass our tracts. There were quite a few people walking about in the streets in celebration of the festival called the Sinulog Festival. This is a week-long religious festival celebrated annually. The Sinulog is a dance ritual in honor of the Santo Niño, which is also known as the Christ Child, so-called. The Santo Niño is an image or an idol of a statue of the Christ Jesus. The dance moves two steps forward and one step backward to the sound of drums. Sinu Luck history began around 1521 when Magellan, a military ruler, is said to have introduced Christianity to Cebu by means of the Santo Niño. The Sinu Luck festival started in 1980 in honor of the Santo Niño. The event has since increased in attendance and in popularity and is now a major celebration in the Philippines. The festival falls around the third Sunday in January. Our initial response that Saturday afternoon were very encouraging. We noticed that the people were very friendly and very receptive to the tracts. Many people took the tracts with great interest and began to read it immediately. Some took it and carefully put the tract in their pockets, you know, to read later. There were very few tracts on the ground. The excellent response was very encouraging to us. And as we walked back to the hotel, we rejoiced and were very thankful to our wonderful God for his providence and for preparing the hearts of the people in Cebu. This was only a taste, you know, this was only a taste because tomorrow is the great festival. This is the third Sunday, and the big festival is tomorrow, so we're looking with great excitement towards the next day. We had a meeting that evening to go over strategies and schedule, and I'll give you a brief schedule of our routine. Breakfast was at 7. We loaded up our backpacks, you know, around 8:30, and we're out distributing the tracts, you know, between 9:30, 9:30, thereabouts. Each team took care of their lunches, and we were back at the hotel by 5. Dinner was at 6:30. We had the Bible studies, which were done by Barry, our group leader, and also Jerry Middlestack. They did the Bible studies, and the study was at 8 p.m. The next day, Sunday, the 15th, was our first full day of tract distribution. This was also the day of the parade. This is the big day, the final day of the Sinu Luck Festival. The people began to assemble very early, position themselves so that they would have a good view of the various colorful floats and dancers moving to the sound of the drums. We arrived around 9:30, and there were thousands of people in the streets. As the day progresses, many more people arrived, and by mid-afternoon, there were so many people that we were literally bumping into people. By God's wonderful providence, our hotel, the Cebu Midtown Hotel, was centrally located. We're literally in the center of the action. I mean, we just walked, you know, a few walks away, we were there. What a blessing this was. We divided them into groups and were able to spread out, covering the whole area. When we ran out of tracks, we simply walked, you know, to our hotel. Again, it was nearby, and just restocked. An estimated 1 million people attended the festival, and we passed out about 50,000 tracts that day. What a blessing. The reception of the tracts was also excellent, as, you know, again, the people were just truly very receptive. And, you know, again, this was a tremendous opportunity, you know, to pass out God's word, you know, as we see so many people taking the tracts and very few tracts, you know, left on the ground. As comparison to what we passed out, there were very few tracts on the ground. On Monday, our team went to a market called the Tibuan Market. This was a large market where fruits and other food items were sold. We were able to give tracts to the merchants on the side. We also had the opportunity to give tracts to those people on their bicycles and moped. What a joy that was, and as they would, you know, with one hand on the handlebar, you know, you hand the tracts out, and they would put one hand on the handlebar, slow down with the other hand, grab the tracts. That was joy, it was fun to see. We also give tracts to those people rushing in to get into the jitneys. The jitney is a large vehicle, like a sports utility vehicle or other military vehicle, transformed into a public transportation. Similarly, it would be like a bus in the U.S. Two rows of large benches, side by side, were added. The vehicle is painted with very colorful paints and bright colors, and slogans, sometimes verses from the Bible, would be added on the side. Jitneys are the least expensive way to get around. The fare is about 10 to 25 cents U.S., depending on where you're going. While in the market, passing out tracts, the children were becoming very curious of what we were doing. As soon as a crowd of children, and soon a crowd of children would be wanting a tract. These were probably the vendor's children, and they range in ages between 4 and 8 years old. Each one were given a tract and was encouraged to give the tract to their parents. We'll tell them, you know, give the tract to your mommy or give it to your father. Sometimes the children would take a tract. I'm gonna demonstrate this. Sometimes children would take a tract and walk around the corner, putting that, and then they would soon come back, putting that tract behind their back, and with the other hand, you know, giggling now, asking for another tract. And you know, I'm sure this is common and all over the world that children would do this. But certainly we weren't fooled. Yeah. A group of about three little girls left a memorable impression. They stood near us watching the way we passed out the tracts. And now, having memorized what we say, when someone walked by and we would offer them a tract, and with an exact imitation of our movement, extending their arms, would say, "This is from the Bible," in unison. This was repeated several times as a person would walk by. "This is from the Bible," these little girls would yell out. The person walking by would smile and take the tract. This definitely, you know, made our work easier and provided a light moment for us. By Tuesday, we had already used up about half of our supply of tracts. An additional 70,000 tracts were ordered. These tracts would be in the Cebuano language and should be available by Friday or Saturday. We also were, people were being invited to the Bible study, and many people were starting to join us at the 8 o'clock Bible studies. Wednesday the 18th, we went to the prisons. You know, what a wonderful opportunity it is to visit the prisons and get God's words to the inmates, you know, there in the prisons. By God's providence, as it turned out, the owner of the print shop where we were getting the tracts printed, had connections with the prison officials and authorities and helped us gain access to three of Cebu's largest prisons. Our first visit was a prison built to house 250 inmates, but it now had 2,000 inmates. The officials graciously allowed us inside so as to see the inmates directly. The inmates were very polite. They called us sirs, you know, and treated us very respectfully. The overcrowding was very obvious, as many of the inmates were lying down on cardboards placed on the dirt floor where they slept. They were very happy and grateful that we came to visit them. We gave them tracts, Bibles, and many family radio pamphlets and other materials. And they were, you know, they were very well received. The second prison we visited was a very high security prison. We did not get to see the prisoners, but by God's providence, we got to meet the person in charge of distributing ministry materials to the inmates. This man was a trustee, but an inmate himself. This man, we gave him Bibles and tracts and many materials from the school of the Bible, and he was very grateful. He shared with us that he had drafted a letter and he was going to send a letter to the Gideon Bible Society to request Bibles, and he had put this letter together but didn't mail it out. Shortly afterwards, lo and behold, here we are with Bibles. And what a great blessing it was that, you know, to see God answer his prayer in this way. We don't know whether this man is saved, but maybe that God in his mercy would be pleased to bless him and even the inmates with salvation as they read his word. The third prison that we went to had three sections. One section had children from 8 years old to 15 years old, then the adults, and then another side was the women's prison. How terrible it is, you know, to hear of young children committing terrible crimes, even from the very young age of 8 years old. You know, this again proves what God's Word says in the Bible. God's Word is true and it's trustworthy. You know, in Psalm 58, verse 3, Psalm 58, verse 3, we read. Psalm 58. Verse 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. Nonetheless, it's still terrible to see, you know, even when an 8 years old being in jail for a crime. Again, by God's providence, we were allowed to go to the jail cell to see the inmates. The inmates were very polite and greeted us, "Good afternoon, sirs." And we approached their cell to give them family radio, gospel pamphlets, and tracts. By God's mercy, our group leader, Barry, was allowed to give a 15-minute message, you know, to the inmates as we were leaving. A message of God's salvation and judgment, you know, to a large group of inmates. They all listened in complete silence and in respect. Some of them had tears in their eyes as they heard the true gospel, perhaps for the very first time in their lives. Many Bibles, tracts, family radio materials were given to them. And so we want to, you know, keep them in prayer. Maybe that God would bless his word. And the rest of the time we spent with the remainder of the tribe, by Wednesday or Thursday, we had ran out of the initial 250,000 tracts. We're now working on our second stacks that we have, and you know, by Monday, you know, we're out of tracts. And that was a great, you know, blessing to bring God's word, and the people were very receptive. And we visited the colleges and universities to bring the word of God. That's pretty much all I have. And again, you can some of this information is available on the Family Radio website. You know, you can read from the mission report there. Are there any questions? What I'd like to do now then is read from the Bible. And Isaiah 55, this is very familiar to you all. Isaiah 55, we'll just read the first 6 verses. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that have no money, come ye buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So maybe that as we brought God's word to the people of the Philippines, passed out 290,000 tracts, and give out by 1,000 Bibles, maybe that God would be pleased to bless his word to the hearts of the people in the Philippines, beautiful people in the Philippines. And we also want to thank you, you know, those here in the States who prayed for us, and those who, you know, contributed financially to, you know, to help those to go on a mission trip if you were not able to go yourself. So each one of you plays a part, you know, in this mission venture. And these trips are a tremendous, you know, opportunity as we're, you know, as we're nearing the end here. And that, you know, we're called to bring forth the word, and, you know, everyone plays a part in whether you're able to help out financially or whether you're able to help out through your prayers. And we know that God works through the prayers of his people. And so, so we do want to thank you, for that. Okay. That's it. Why don't we have it?